بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، respected elders and dear brothers, tonight we commence with the 17th juz, which begins with Surah Al-Anbiya, which is a Makki surah, which was revealed prior to the Hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this particular surah is divided into three primary themes. In the first 40 verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks primarily about Tawheed, proofs of Allah's greatness, Allah's oneness, that Allah is the creator of the skies and the earth. And Allah laments the disbelief of the Quraysh of Makkah Mukarrama. And within these first 40 verses comes one rational and logical proof for Tawheed, for the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was presented to the Quraysh. Allah says, لَوْ كَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِهَةٌ إِلَّا اللَّهِ لَفَسَدَتَ. That had there been more than one deity in the skies and the earth, had there been more than one deity other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the skies and the earth, then you would have witnessed the skies and the earth in complete and utter chaos. In other words, it would not be functioning smoothly, running smoothly. فَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَرْشِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ. Allah says, glory be to Allah, the Rabb of the throne, the creator of the throne, from that which they ascribe to Him, the partners that they ascribe to Him. And here the ulama of Aqeedah, the mutakallimeen, have gone into great detail regarding this particular proof. And in a nutshell, what they explain is that there is no kingdom, no country, no land in this world where there are two active ruling kings at the same time. It is impossible for that country or that government to function smoothly. Likewise, you will not find two drivers in one car. One will decide to turn right, one will decide to turn left, or one will accelerate, one will press brakes. And of course, there is going to be chaos and there will be an accident that is caused. Likewise, if for something so simple like driving a car or running a country or a city, there can't be two people making the decisions. Likewise, when it comes to the skies and the earth, which is on a much larger and greater scale, there can't be more than one person or one being in control. And this is one of the greatest rational and logical proofs of Tawheed. So nevertheless, these first 40 verses, Allah speaks about His oneness, His greatness. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the second portion of the surah, speaks about the incidents of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. وَلَقَدْ اسْتُهْزِئَ بِرُسُلٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ. Allah says to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that many anbiya before you were belied, were mocked at. فَحَاقَ بِالَّذِينَ سَخِرُوا مِنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. The end result of all of these people, these nations, who mocked at the anbiya, is that eventually the same punishment that they would mock at and laugh at, eventually befell them and completely annihilated them, destroyed them. So Allah speaks about the anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and how he broke the idols in his youth, and he showed the people that there is no logic behind the worshipping of idols. Then Allah speaks about Nabi Dawood and Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, father and son, who were both anbiya. Allah speaks about Nabi Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, وَذَنُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا. Allah describes him as ذَنُّون, the person who was in the whale or in that fish. إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا فَظَنَّ أَلَّن نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ. When he left his town, and he thought that we will not send punishment or we will not rebuke him. And here Mufassirin have explained that Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam was informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when your people continue to belie, continue to reject, eventually my punishment will befall them. He made an error in judgment, and he felt that because they had exceeded the bounds in denial, in rejection, now Allah's punishment was imminent, and hence he left and he abandoned that town. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted him to wait for his command. Nevertheless, to rebuke him, Allah caused him to be thrown into the ocean and then to be swallowed by that whale or that large fish. And Allah then mentions the dua that Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam made, فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ, that while he was engulfed in these layers of darkness, they say the darkness of the belly of the whale, the darkness of the ocean, the darkness of the night, he then calls out to Allah, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ. He says, there is no deity besides you. Glory be to you. Inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Indeed, I was from the oppressive ones. So he admits his error, his mistake. And when he does this, Allah says, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. We respond to him. وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِ. And we delivered him, we saved him from this situation that he was in. And then the promise comes, وَكَذَٰلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah says, in the very same way, we will deliver and save every single believer who also calls unto us in this way. So this is a lesson for us. When a person finds himself in some difficult situation, then he should utilize this dua of Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. La ilaha illa anta subhanak. There is no deity besides you, O Allah. You are free from all flaws, all deficiencies. And then a person admits his guilt, his own error. Inni kuntu min al-dhalimin. I was from the wrongdoers. I was from the oppressive ones. Of course, Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, it was an error of judgment. He was a Nabi of Allah. But for us, I was from the oppressive ones. I transgressed. I broke your command. If a person does this, he admits his guilt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then also save him and deliver him from that situation he finds himself in. So various Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam have been mentioned. And then finally, the third portion of the surah, Allah speaks about the reward for good and the punishment for evil. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنِ. Allah says, whoever does righteous deeds with the condition of iman. And this is a very important part of our belief, is that no matter what righteous or good deeds a person may do in this world, the condition for reward in the hereafter is iman. Ulama are very clear on this, that any disbeliever who carries out any good deeds in this world, Allah is not unjust, Allah is not unfair. Allah will reward him, but his reward is restricted to this world. Allah will give him some fame, some recognition, or Allah will protect him as far as his health is concerned. Allah will protect his wealth in this world because of the good deeds that he carries out. He is charitable, he is kind, he is generous. Allah will reward him in this world. But the condition for reward in the hereafter, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. Allah says a person has to have iman, then فَرَا كُفْرَانَ لِسَعِيهِ. There will be no rejection of his efforts. Allah will appreciate his efforts. وَإِنَّا لَهُ كَاتِبُونَ. Allah says, we record every deed of a person. So a person does good deeds with anticipation of reward. And we learn this in the month of Ramadan also. The hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, مَنْ صَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا. Person who fasts in the month of Ramadan with iman and ihtisab, having hope in reward from Allah, then غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. All of his past sins will be forgiven. Likewise, similar hadith, مَنْ قَامَ رَمَضَانَ. That person who stands up during the month of Ramadan. Some ulama say it refers to Taraweeh Salah, some say it refers to Tahajjud Salah, with the same two conditions, iman and ihtisab. He has belief in Allah, and he has anticipation of reward, then his sins will also be forgiven. So this was Suratul Anbiya, and thereafter we commenced with Suratul Hajj, which is the second half of the 17th Juz. Just one verse that we will discuss in Suratul Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ حَرْفٍ. That from amongst the people, there are those who worship Allah on the edge. What is meant by this? فَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٌ اِطْمَأَنَّ بِهِ. If goodness comes to him, he is content and happy with iman and Islam. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فِتْنَةٌ. But if some difficulty comes to him, إِنْ قَلَبَ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ, then he turns his back on Islam. So Allah says regarding such a person, خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. He will lose in this world and he will lose in the hereafter. And that is the clearest type of loss. And the incident behind this, there was a Yahudi, a Jewish person, who had accepted Islam at the hands of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And some time after accepting Islam, he went through some difficulty. He became very ill. He lost his health. Then he lost his eyesight. He became blind. Eventually he lost his job and all of his wealth also. So after accepting Islam, he went through all of these difficulties, these challenges. So he comes to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I have not gained anything through Islam, and therefore I wish that you refund my Islam. The word used, iqala. Iqala generally is the word used when there is a transaction, buying and selling, and the customer wants a refund, he says, make iqala. So please refund my Islam. Take it back, and I want to go back to my past religion. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explains to him that there's no refund when it comes to Islam. Nevertheless, this incident was regarding him, is that he accepted Islam, but he waited to see, will I get some benefit in this world? Then I'll be happy, content with iman. Otherwise, I'll turn back, and I will not continue in this faith. So regarding this person, Allah says, he's a loser in dunya. He lost out here, and he's a loser in the akhirah also. Allah protect us. Allah safeguard our iman. Give us tawfiq and correct understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.